She was 90, I don't know, 92 or so. In other words, she was a bit older and a bit further down the road than I am. And maybe we were talking about the journey and how things had gotten kind of difficult for her. She's a hospice patient. She's on oxygen. She's housebound. You know, all of her dreams that she had have come and gone, and now she's in this place in life. And we talked about this journey that she's been on and the difficulties. And I said, you know, it seems to me that in a journey, the difficulty is not so important as the destination. In other words, if you get to where you're going, looking back how difficult, how easy it was, is really not that big a deal. Let me give you an example of that. There's a story told of a couple of guys that came out of a big city, and they came down into the south to hunt for deers and never had hunt before. And so somehow or the other, they actually shot a deer. And they were dragging this deer out of the woods. And so they each had it's a big 8 points, so they had each had one side dragging this way. Well, they kept catching these antlers on all the underbrush. And boy, it was hard. They were just work up a sweat. They're making no progress whatsoever. I mean, they got getting along, but it's hard. It says, it's going to take us all day to get back to the truck if we keep pulling like this. And finally, there's a guy out there who was hunting too, and he saw him. He said, hey, guys, let me give you a secret here. If you'll pull the deer by its heels, and so that the underbrush goes around the antlers this way, you'll make a lot better progress. And so they grabbed those heels. They start pulling that thing. And pulling. I said, man, we're doing good. And they were just making great time. And one says, you know, this is a lot easier. He said, but, you know, we're getting further and further away from the pickup truck. Destination, destination is more important than the journey itself, right? If you're making great time, but you're going in the wrong direction, it doesn't help. If you're having a difficult time, you're going in the right direction. That's what counts, isn't it? And we've been talking about this thing about the domino effect here now for a few weeks. Brand's been talking about that. And the falling of the dominoes. What's important about all this is that the dominoes are falling, but they're falling in the right direction. There is a purpose and a direction. And when God sets up a domino effect in mind, he has a purpose and a direction in mind. Does that make sense? You can set all the dominoes you want up there, but if they start falling this way instead of the way the rest of the dominoes are, you've got nothing going on there. It's got to fall, but it also has to fall in the right direction. So it takes two things, that there's a willingness to fall into it or push into it or be used, but also that you're going in the right direction. So we have to have some understanding about this. I want to begin with this concept, though. The first part of that is the first domino. Would you agree with me? That's it. And that first domino needs to lean in toward the rest of the dominoes. So we need to understand where the dominoes are, and we go that away. It just starts with one domino. Next slide, please. And in this case, what we've been studying, the domino that God is choosing is a young woman named Ruth. And, of course, Ruth is found through the whole book of Ruth. It's four chapters, takes about 15 to 20 minutes to read the entire thing. So if you want to go back and catch up and read all that, I'd encourage you to. I'm going to be focused on just a very small portion of Ruth. This says Ruth 13 through 22. Actually, I'm more concerned with Ruth 13 through 17. 22 just is a whole bunch of names after that that shows the lineage. So I'm not going to really focus on all the names in particular, but you can read that part of it. But for those four verses in particular, I want to focus on this one domino named Ruth and the domino effect of her life and where that journey goes to, where it's actually leading to, okay? Next slide, please. The first part of this domino is found in verse 13, where it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and he became his wife, and when he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Okay. Now, the importance of this, it can hardly be overstated. It could be very easily understated. But the importance here is that the Lord gave Ruth a son. You said, no, wait a minute. She just got married, and they had sexual union, and they had a child, right? That's just common, ordinary. Remember, Naomi and her husband and their two sons went down to a far country, right? And they were there Of course, you may not know this. I'm not sure it's 100% certain, but the best of my study shows about 10 years they were down there when they decided to come back. And when they came back after Naomi's husband died, after both of the sons had died, and now she has these two daughters-in-law, one of which decides to stay there, and Ruth decides to come with her, how many children did Ruth bring back with her? Zero. She's there 10 years and has no children because they didn't care about children back then, because they had great contraceptive plans. No. In those days, they wanted to have children. In fact, everything relied upon them as far as their future, their continuing, their inheritance, their everything required children, and in particular a son, because I don't know if you're aware of this or not, the inheritance didn't just go to the wife or to the daughters. The inheritance went to one person, the oldest son, and the oldest son then would divide out portions of that to others as he decided to, or not, by the way. Did you know that? Okay, so having a son was very important. So they were there 10 years, and I suspect for that 10 years, they were praying and trying and hoping for a child, a son, maybe several children. She had none, which would suggest probably what? After 10 years, if you had no children, what would you think? We're probably barren. Probably not going to have a child. We need to go see the doctor and get on some drug regimen. We need to have some operations. We need to have things they didn't have back then. So what they came back, and this is part of what Naomi said when she says, call me Mara. Remember that from a couple weeks ago? Because why? My life is so bitter. Had she had a grandson, her life would not have been so bitter. She had no husband. She had no sons. She had no grandson. That's the full story of that. She had no future. No future. Because a widow in that time had really no future. As a matter of fact, think about her. When she came back, what happened to all of her land that belonged to her husband? Well, she didn't have it. Who had it? Somebody else had it. We don't have to know all those things. I'm just saying it wasn't hers. I want to keep this kind of simple. It wasn't hers. It belonged to someone else. So they could be bought back. In fact, a kinsman redeemer could actually get those lands, which is part of the deal. Remember, if she had married this other fellow before Boaz, said you can have this land, but you have to also take this bride. Well, I don't want to take the bride because of a thing called the Levirate Law, which we'll talk about in a minute, that would cause me to maybe lose some of my land or some of my portion, and so no. So he takes that. He gets the land, the inheritance of it, because he's an oldest son, and then she now has a blessing. Does that make sense? Now you say, well, that's not fair. Well, no, it may not be fair, but it was the law of the land at that time. So we could keep that in mind. That was what her concern was. So the Lord gave Ruth a son. So Ruth, she comes back with Naomi. She is going, falling or moving in the right direction. She starts the journey, right? And as she's falling, she falls into a blessing of a son. Keep that in mind. That's the next domino, the son. Next slide, please. And so then Ruth, who had been married, and I already mentioned this, to Mahlon for perhaps 10 years, was childless. And so she has this son, but this son was as much for Naomi as it was for Ruth. Now, this thing that we mentioned, the Levirate Law, was this. If you were married and your husband died and you had no children, then it was expected of perhaps a brother or the closest redeemer, the closest male, they could marry you, have a child, name it after the dead person, and inheritance would go to that person, away from yours, to them. So for many, they didn't like that so much. Now, some it worked out because if this other person had a whole bunch of land and stuff, well, you got all that to work in with this, so it was okay. But sometimes it just wasn't. And some were just worried about, you know, getting things mixed up. Now, if you got a step family, anybody here got a step family besides Tandy and I? Is there any problem getting things mixed up from one family to another? People get kind of concerned, especially parents and things. You know, they get concerned about what goes where, inheritance things. We've had some discussions about inheritance things. And Tay and I said, listen, keep us out of it. We don't care. Just do something, but don't bother us with that whole inheritance thing. But nonetheless, that is a concern for many of them. So this son was as much for her. So she said, call me Mara because my life is very bitter. What they were now saying about her was something different. Look at the next slide here. I want you to see this. Now, it is the Lord had given Naomi a redeemer. Ruth falls in with fallen Naomi. Ruth has this child. This child then falls in as a blessing upon Naomi herself. Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout all Israel. Ruth 4:14. Now, if you haven't read the whole story in context, you might think they're talking about Boaz, and that Boaz, because he was called the kinsman redeemer, that's about him, and that Boaz would become faithful, you know, and known throughout the country. Here's the deal. Boaz is already known. He was one of the richest men in that area. Boaz was someone who's already established. It's not talking about Boaz at all. It's talking about Obed, who was a son of Ruth and Boaz. Don't you love these names? Boaz, Obed. It's just kind of fun to say. But that's the truth. That he is this one that's saying he is now become a kinsman redeemer for not Ruth, but Naomi. Whoa. Why? She now finally has someone through whom the lineage come. Boaz was not related to Naomi at all. Ruth was not related to them. But Ruth had been the wife of Naomi's son, and so the child, which under the Levirate law became the son of the dead son, becomes her grandson. Is that complicated enough for you? But at any rate, now she has a grandson. I've got grandchildren that aren't mine by birthright, but they're my grandchildren. I'm blessed with many. All of them. Matter of fact, eight. We're saying seven. Remember the older one that we got? One that's what, 18, 19? We kind of forget about her, but not fair to forget about her. The point is, so we've got, you know, eight grandchildren, and none of them are connected to me by birth, but by adoption and by marriage and by love and by community, we are a family. See that blessing that comes in there? And we're just as much as a family as any other family. Now, does that mean we're not dysfunctional? I'm not going to say that far, but, you know, we're doing all right for the shape we're in, I think. At any rate, so he wants the women. This is the women. And by the way, what do you think about this for a minute? We have all these women. What kind of women were they right now? Israelite women, Jewish women. We're saying of Ruth that her son, who was Ruth, a Moabitess outside Israel. And they were saying that she is a blessing. She's a great thing, and this is a great blessing. This outside of Israel is a blessing for those inside of Israel. Whoa. Now, we might understand Ruth saying that, and maybe even Naomi saying that, but for the women, that's not very typical, is it? But everybody there saw God's hand in this. Everybody was seeing the domino effect falling one after another, and that God was the one who actually was pushing the dominoes in one direction. Does that make sense? This is God's work. Everybody who looked at this saw this. And they said, may who? This son of the Moabitess, may he become famous throughout where? Israel. Wow. I wish the Palestinians and the Israelites today could figure that one out, that there can be a mutual blessing together. That'd be a great thing, wouldn't it? Next slide, please. So he becomes something very interesting. Now, this is often most likely translated as kinsman redeemer. When you read this thing, by the way, and for Hebrew, you got to start over here. That funny thing with the dot on top and in the middle, that's kind of a G sound. And then this one over here, the X-looking thing with the two dots at the bottom, is kind of an sound. And then this squiggly thing like that is more of a L. Goel. Okay? And we say kinsman redeemer. But what it does mean, redeemer, but I want you to notice something. If you were to take off the G back here and just see the L, you know what L means? What is L? God. Now, do you think these women didn't know that Goel, redeemer, was connected to God and his blessing? You think, oh, we shouldn't have said that because this is a Moabitess and this is not part of what we would recognize. No, they accepted that. And this baby Obed now becomes the next domino effect falling down. He becomes God's redemption. That's what this word means. God's redemption of who? Of Israel. And not only that, do you think that would include his mother in that? Ruth, whom this whole story's about? Yeah. And guess who Ruth is not part of? Israel, but the whole world. She represents the Gentiles, you and I. This is getting more and more interesting, isn't it? We're seeing that, God is bringing all this together through this Goel, kinsman redeemer, or this God redeemer, or the one that God sends to bring back another. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? We all heard some redeemer who was sent to bring us all back. Next slide, please. The Lord gave Israel a Messiah. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son. Do you hear what I... It kind of helps you see what I was just saying is true. Naomi, not Ruth. Naomi, finally her son, Mahlon, is back to life through Obed. So Naomi has her son back, risen from the what? Dead. Man, we have a baby who is the redeemer of Israel because he has risen from the dead and extends to his mother who represents the Gentile world. Wow. So who's this story about anyways? Some little Israeli grandma who needed a grandson and some little Moabitess girl who needed a husband? Next slide, please. It's about this one. You might notice the symbol in the middle. That's the Star of David, represents Judaism. And around it is, of course, the cross, which represents Christianity. The two are inextricably linked together. We are Judeo-Christians, by the way. As Christians, our roots run together. We are Gentiles, by and large, but we are also part of the family of Israel, the redeemed. The Goel who redeems Israel redeems us. The next domino effect of this, Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Next slide, please. Job 19 says, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's part of that. But remember those verses I said we weren't going to really spend time with? Obed became the father of who? Jesse, right? And Jesse became the father of David. And who is David the father of in Scripture? Not the immediate son, but Jesus Christ, the son of who? David. Son of God, too. Yes, but the son of David, because that's the messianic. That is where his kingship comes from. He traces it back through Joseph and Mary, both actually. His stepfather and his mother actually go back into that, but the lineage comes from his father as an adopted son. You know that Jesus also was an adopted son, and we were adopted children. Imagine that. And it goes back to the kingship of David himself. That's his kingship comes from that lineage. And so Jesus Christ then, so we have now Ruth and Naomi, and we have Boaz and Obed, and we have Israel's Messiah, and now this Messiah, this Obed, who is that Messiah, represents that Messiah, he gives, the lineage from him goes down through David and through Jesus Christ, who becomes Messiah for the world. It's all a story of the domino effect of one person, Ruth, who says, I will go with you wherever you go. I will live wherever you live. I will serve the God that you serve. I will die where you die. I will be with you unto death, and let not even death separate us. Notice, I will continue the path that you're on. I will continue what we have started. I will continue in that lineage. I'll continue worshiping your God. I'll continue along the same path that we've been on. Let not even death separate us. Wow. Isn't this great? So we have this whole story. I know that my Redeemer lives in Job 19:25. He knew that. And this is back in the Old Testament time. This was written before this other part was written, by the way. Job already saw this coming. Look at the next slide, though. I want to show you one more thing here. This is slide number 10. We got 10. My wife's telling me you need to get back down to 10 sometime. And so I'm back to 10. And this is the last slide, too, by the way. I want to just add one more thing to the domino effect. If you take out just one domino, If these dominoes would, in fact, stand up, and I don't know if they will or not. I doubt it because they're kind of whatever. But let's suppose we have this domino hits that domino, and that domino hits that domino. What if we take this domino out? See what happens if you take one out? Let's just suppose for a moment that there's a grandchild or a great-grandchild or some person down the way that's going to need their parent and their grandparent to reach them. And let's just suppose that you're that grandparent. And so someone who approaches you with the idea of the gospel, with the message of Christ, of sharing your faith, but you don't do it, you step out, and so they fall flat. And so the next person never gets hit. The next person never gets hit. The next person never gets hit. What happens to that child down there? They never get reached. They don't hear the story. It would take a whole other set of dominoes to reach them. Do you understand that? And God can do that. And I'm not saying he can't. I'm just telling you something. You may think that your life doesn't count, but if you have been impacted by someone by the cause of Christ and by the vision of the Messiah and the lens of the Messiah, and you, in fact, impact somebody else, anybody else, and they impact anybody else and anybody else, there may be in time a million or 2 million or a trillion people that you are responsible for having saved. That's the domino effect. I know for a fact it works that way. I know in my life, I haven't personally baptized that many. Maybe a 100 or so, something like that. I don't know. A few. But there are some people that I baptized who have baptized many more than I have. And have gone further than I've gone. And have done more than I've done. And so perhaps by now, in my lifetime, I don't know for sure how many. Maybe thousands, maybe millions. I just don't know. How many people were influenced because I was just a domino? It was because I'm such a great speaker, I'm such a great person, I'm such a great whatever. Is none of that is true, folks. If you really knew my life, you see, he's kind of ordinary. He really is. You know? But God can take ordinary people and do extraordinary things. It's called being a conduit of the Holy Spirit. Last verse, it's not on the slide, that's why I get to squeak it in. Ephesians 3:20. God can do more than we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. It's not our work, except for one thing. We choose to stand. Remember to the prophet Isaiah, the Lord says, who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. He said, I'm the next domino. I'll step in the gap. I love the idea of standing in the gap. Let's just all do that. How about that? What if all of us just stand in the gap for one other person? Between now and the time you die, make it your goal to stand in the gap and become the domino that affects one other person for righteousness. I think you do more than that, but let's just say one. What if we all just touch one person? In 1,000 years, how many people would that be? Do you suppose? If you would, let's bow together at this time to bring this lesson to a close. Our Holy Father in heaven, I just want to bow before your throne of mercy and grace and just lift up your name because you are the holy and righteous one of Israel, who is the God of everyone and everything, who has placed the stars in the sky and calls each one by name, and yet numbers the very hairs on our head because you care for us. And you invite us to be a part of your work and your plan and your redemption. I pray, dear Lord, that you will use us, that we become the object of your affection, and that through us, others become the object of your affection, and that through this domino effect that you have begun and that results in the kingdom, that you would use us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.